can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Now, Don, this might be right up your alley, this, because you're always on about the Darling River and water courses and storage and stuff like that. So we've got in the studio, about to speak to us on You Cannot Be Serious, a man called Wade Northhausen. And he is a third-generation farmer who has been fighting political agriculture for about 40 years. He's been before senators and MPs in Parliament. He has been instrumental in fighting the government on a whole lot of agricultural issues. We thought it'd be interesting to speak to him in view of what his particular subject of choice is, because I'm not familiar with this, but I'm told he's a great speaker and he's very forthright, and he's going to tell us, I believe, what he thinks the problems of agriculture and the associated political interference is all about. So, Wade, welcome to You Cannot Be Serious. How are you? Where have you come from today?
Yep, I'm pretty good, thanks, Sam. And g'day to you and also to Don. And it's a good idea to come down to Melbourne here and catch up with you blokes and do a bit of a yarn on what we do.
So I understand you're a small farmer and contractor, and you're fighting the political side of agriculture. In what aspect and in what way, Wade?
So a long time ago, probably around about 1985, my parents, who started to get into the agri-politics side of things, and then also myself, you know, started to work out that there was a lot going wrong with agriculture, and in particular with what governments were doing. So started to take a bit of an interest in that, and also a lot of the other sort of things that was popping up that people used to talk about with regard to conspiracy theories and all the rest of it. And once you start to put things together and match this to that, you work out things are not what they seem. What the politicians and the bureaucrats tell you are not right, and the fact that we can see a very, very clear-cut decline in a lot of the things that seem to be as a deliberate action.
So what vested interest, Wade, would governments have in misrepresenting or taking what you're saying in a different direction? What is your main beef? I see that you've said that the government interference, particularly about the Murray-Darling Basin plan, is has been corrupt, fraudulent, and even treasonous about what they're doing with water resources and the Murray-Darling Basin.
So what the Murray-Darling Basin plan has in fact done is to destroy enormous amounts of our agriculture and to transfer massive amounts of our water and our land into the hands of multinational corporates.
So hang on, what do you mean by that?
So whereas, you know, traditionally we had our family farmers. They were Australian farmers. They ran the agricultural industry and the agricultural sector. And with policy changes that government have made, they've sent farmers broke. Our normal family farmers have been sent broke. And then that has made it so that the multinational corporates can then come in and buy up the land and water resources.
Do you mean the water rights?
That's correct.
Do you mean water rights, and then they buy the properties?
You're talking about foreign...
Yes.
Foreign... Like, you know, I suppose we're speaking about the Chinese, not Chinese, what people are coming and buying up large tracts of land to the detriment of Australian farmers?
So there's a huge amount of foreign corporates who are now buying up land.
Like who, Wade?
Like a lot of the foreign superannuation companies. They are buying huge amounts of our land. We do have what they call investment from Chinese, a lot of investment from Chinese businesses. So, you know, and we've also seen an enormous transfer of the water into the hands of the federal and state governments.
And also privateers, would that be right?
Yeah, yep. So, I mean, to give it a bit of a, in a nutshell, when you bought a farm, the water came with the farm. It would have certain allocation, and that was attached to the land and the farm. That just went with it.
As they say, Wade, the greatest resource in the world besides oil reserves are arable land next to running water.
Absolutely.
That is priceless. And you're saying that foreign interests are now jeopardising the local farming community, and you're up in arms about this, about are you not?
Yes. So what we're seeing is the food growing capacity and the food security for Australia and all our exports is now in extreme jeopardy, because we have international interests who do not want Australia to have food security and do not want Australia to have food exports. So therefore, they're working in this direction. And this is
Hang on, wait. I don't understand this. Having driven right through New South Wales and whatever else, and I thought that farming was just getting out of the hands. You had to have huge farms now to make a profit. It's no longer what it used to be, where it was very labour intensive, and families can't afford the machinery and whatever else for broad acreage farmage, which is the way it's going.
Anything, Don, can afford what it needs to if it's in a profitable business. So, you know, it's a complete and utter myth and a fallacy to say that we need all this big foreign investment that Australian family farmers can't afford to farm, because government puts in place policies that will drive something in a certain direction. And the bottom line is that, you know, the most important single element in agriculture, as with any business, is politics, because we've seen the most successful high-tech switched-on farmers in Australia be sent broke by government policy. And that's our issue.
And the government policy is to placate and favour the big corporations. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely, yes.
And so you are, you're the president of the Victorian Farmers Federation.
No, I was a branch president for the VFF, and I also stood for the state president's job in 2016.
Against David Jahinki? Yes.
David Jahinki, that's correct.
But so is he the president?
No,
he's not, yes.
And now the president, he did his two terms,
yep.
And now the president is Emma Germano.
Did you want to be the president? You're a reluctant hero, if you like. You're reluctant to get into the politics of it, but you're just trying to save the family.
That's correct. It wasn't my thing. I'm not, you know, and you would have to spend a lot of time in Melbourne in that role. That's not my deal. I'd rather be sitting on a tractor in paddocks, ploughing up paddocks and growing feed. However, I think that things were so crucial and so bad that I stood for the position, because my opinion is that our so-called farmer representative lobby groups are selling out our family farmers. They are willingly and assisting in destroying them.
And your concerns were foreign investment, free trade, deregulation of the dairy industry, mining, and the Murray-Darling Basin in particular. Is that your platform?
Look, that's a lot of it, yes, Sam.
So you're, or what you advocate or whatever else, you must get censored, because I've seen you on Rumble. Now, Rumble is a thing that you can go where people that are very outspoken can't be shut down. Have you been censored in the past? And is that why you're on this platform or avenue called Rumble?
Absolutely. And that's why, you know, we do a lot of what we do publicly. With a lot of the convoys and the action that we take with regard
convoys, to what do you mean by that?
So, because of the censorship, and I'll just say for a start, to anybody listening, that censorship is an enormous problem. It's a massive problem.
Yep.
And
free speech is a massive problem.
Yes, as a rule of thumb, if you hear anything that's been checked by so-called independent fact-checkers, they are not independent anything. They are political activists.
Yep.
They are in the business of shutting down honest speech.
Yep.
Not and free speech, but honest and truthful speech. Because they are operating in a very, very bad place, and they want to. They have a certain objective and a certain criteria, and they want to shut down people who would tell the truth, so the Australian people do not know what's
going on. So your main source of protest is to put boots on the ground and get convoys of tractors and farmers to actually blockade areas to...
So we did lawfully? We did the blockades in 1985 with regard to dairy factories and so on. But now, to combat the censorship on social media, we actually set up ute convoys of trailers and trucks and whatever. We put our own billboards on them. We make our own placards and billboards. And then we do convoys through towns, through areas.
Are you having much success?
The feedback, Don, is incredible. It is amazing.
But are you having success? You get the feedback.
Fantastic feedback.
Can you tell me something? Because I travel through and I've been through New South Wales. It just staggers me when I look at Australia's future. Our wages we're just too well looked after in the manufacturing scene, so we can't, you know, compete internationally. But where we could compete, and we could be, and this is my view, correct me if I'm wrong, we could be, I believe, the food bowl of Asia. Now, I've travelled through this. You've got the Murray-Darling Basin. You've got the Darling, which is an irregular, unreliable river. You've got the Murray, which is it. Now, in between, you've got the Lachlan and the Murrumbidgee. I cannot see why they don't divert water, or as proposed in the 1950s up in northern New South Wales, instead of it going out to sea, why couldn't they work out some dam or some that the Darling flows 12 months of the year, 24 hours, so it's a reliable source of water, then develop that area between the Darling and the Murray as the food bowl of Australia and Asia?
Well... So, and very good point. So, the Bradfield scheme was originally...
you know that, Don, the Bradfield scheme?
Well, he did the Snowy Mountains, didn't he?
Yes, and he also put together a scheme for a series of dams up in Queensland to harvest a huge amounts of water.
Is that in what do you call that area where the rivers run, a lot of wasted water? What do you call that in the outback there?
So there's an enormous amount of wasted water runs off Queensland out into the sea, right?
Yeah, but it also runs down into the Darling eventually.
Some of it does. Yeah. Some of it does. And the idea was to build a dam system up there so that you could then store that water and put it down through the Darling into the irrigation system here. So what we're dealing with in real terms now is that to... go with the policies that I was talking about before. The policies of governments here in Australia, it's successive, doesn't matter which one of these scumbag parties you're talking about, in terms of the big four, they're in the business of shutting down irrigation, building no more dams, and taking the water that we do have, and this is the basis of the Murray-Darling Basin plan, is to take all the water that we have in such a dry continent that is crucial for our survival. And these parasites run this water out through the Darling River, the Murray River, and out into the Southern Ocean.
Well, what you can see driving through there, and Griffith is a terrific example, that irrigation system put in maybe 100 years ago in a bloody godforsaken bloody joint, and yet it is a thriving metropolis, and it looks magnificent because water's been introduced, which wasn't there. And it was just done on gravity. Now, with, you know, our modern technology, you could pump water wherever you like, right through that area, and it'd be very, very productive.
Absolutely. You know, this is the whole thing, is the system that we've got here runs on gravity. It doesn't cost 1 cent, no energy at all, to make the thing work. And this is the beauty of it. And they took country that was only just glorified sheep ground, and once they irrigated it, they turned it into massively productive, hugely productive areas for food and fibre. And that was the whole idea. When they first set it all up, it was brilliant by world standards. It was the best that you can get, and now they are destroying it, and they are putting Australia's food security in absolute jeopardy. And this is a deliberate action.
Now I've weighed again just the basic things, such as the state of roads in the country. I think they're just deplorable. You haven't got a voice. I don't know how you're going to go, you country people, with regard to the Labor, because Labor only appeals to the metropolitan. You are in alliance, or the country people were, you know, country party, Liberal Party. But they don't look like they're ever going to come back.
Are they two of the scumbag organisations you mentioned?
I reckon they'd be up there with a big chance, yes.
Who?
Absolutely.
Who are the four? Liberals, Labor, Country Party, who else?
So you've got Liberals, Labor, Nationals and the Greens.
Oh, the Greens, yep.
And I really can't say on your program what I think should happen to them all. But the Country Party
would represent you.
No, why don't they? They're gone. They're finished. Because of the level of...
This is my opinion.
The level of corruption and the level of power from international people.
What do the internationals offer?
Internationals?
Yeah, you're talking about internationals. What do they offer that the government succumbs to?
So they, when they start from a baseline of the most rich and powerful people in the world, you can buy pretty well whatever you want and whoever you want. And this is what's happened, is we've seen...
Goodman Fielder, the people like this?
What's that, sorry, Sam?
Goodman Fielder? Are they... No, they're different organisations.
Well, international bankers.
Oh, I see. Oh, pardon me, yep.
These kind of people. And, you know, there's the likes of the Klaus Schwabs and the Soroses and all these people, World Economic Forum, United Nations, World Health Organisation. Like, these people are catastrophic. And they are now influencing all governments around the world. And they have a very, very serious and a very bad agenda.
And what's their agenda?
Well, their agenda is to wipe out massive amounts of the world's population.
What? Yeah, no, that is one of the great conspiracy theories, Don. That is true. This is like the COVID. This is like the vaccination and the COVID. Is that part of your charter too? The COVID restrictions that the government put on working people.
Anything that's important, Sam, is part of my platform. Like when I do public speaking events, I speak to 60 different subjects.
What victory have you had over the years? If you're addressing a lot of different issues which pertain to the country people, obviously there's been a number. What victories or what have you changed since you've been doing this agitation?
So a big part of what we are about is education, because if people have knowledge about things, then they can do something, they can take action. And the biggest issue we've got is they are shutting down information. And this is where it's at. This is a war of information.
Yeah, but what issues have you taken up and had success with?
So I'm not sure how you would mark success in terms of what we've done, but we've dealt with agricultural politics.
Like, you will give me some examples.
So, Don, governments and globalists, are they singling out agriculture as a curb on climate change, for example? Are they using that as an excuse that we just said on an earlier thing that Ireland are thinking of slaughtering 200,000 cows to save the planet through climate change and emissions? Are they singling out agriculture to try and save the planet?
So let's deal with climate change specifically at the minute. Climate change, for all the stuff about, you know, man-made climate change is wiping out people, that is a total and absolute fraud. Complete, absolute fraud. It is lies and it is garbage. And they have specifically and deliberately come up with this as a political and military strategy to wipe out food and energy. That's its a specific job.
How ironic, Wade, that we mentioned earlier in just over talking about other things that we interviewed a bloke called William Kininmonth, who is absolutely at one with you, says that climate change is a natural hazard and the rest of it is just absolute nonsense.
So, once again, Sam, if you have enough money and time, you can gradually buy the media, you can buy influencers, you can buy the scientists, and also the policymakers in Parliament. And that's what we've seen happen. That is what has happened. And the purpose, as I said, is to destroy the world's food production and the world's energy supply.
People will think that this is you're a conspiracy theorist, but I've heard this from several broadcasts and several programs on this, so it's pretty widespread what you're saying, this theory or this estimation of what's going on. Have you been subject to, any government, have you been intimidated by governments? Have you been subject to intimidation by governments?
Hell no. We don't get intimidated by anybody.
No.
We're not scared of anybody.
Have you lobbied parliamentarians?
Yes.
And do you have success lobbying?
We have success with people. The politicians who are there at the minute and the majority of the bureaucrats, they're already bought off. So they don't work on facts. They work on intimidating everybody, and they work on lying to everybody. So and this is the whole problem that we've got, is that our politicians are on the payroll. If you look at the people in the WEF, the World Economic Forum, they openly boast that they now control huge numbers of the politicians in the cabinets and in the leadership of political parties around the world, in the governments. So you know, we have to keep in mind that we're dealing with some sickos. These people are sociopaths, and they now are in a position where they have the power to implement the kind of policies that they're talking about. And when we talk about conspiracy theories, Sam, you mentioned a minute ago, I say to any of these politicians or bureaucrats, these world leaders, if you think what I'm saying is wrong, you meet me in the public arena and we will debate the issue, we'll put forward the evidence, because I work on evidence, not theories. So let's put up the evidence and let's see what goes on and who wins.
I should know who the leader of the country party is. Who is that,
Don? The chap from Wagga, isn't it?
What's his name? I should know that. But who?
Who's
the leader of the National...
He's from Wagga, isn't he? Not Barnaby Joyce. He was there, but he's been overrun.
McCormack.
Yeah, from Wagga.
Mr. McCormack. If Mr. McCormack was listening to this, what would he say to what you're saying, particularly about the country party you'd think is responsible for the country and agriculture and farmers? What would you think he would say to what you're saying?
They would say, oh, look, we're doing a fantastic job. Australian agriculture is looking the best it's ever looked. We've encouraged foreign investment to be able to build new infrastructure and all this sort of stuff, and that they're fighting hard. They're fighting against the Greens, but the bottom line is they're selling us out. That's the bottom line. And they're selling out Australia, because I can tell you right now, and I've been doing this for 40 years, this is what I do. I've been in nearly every war and battle that there is. I know the deal. And the deal is they are deliberately destroying Australia's food security. So for people who think they're going to go to the supermarkets and just buy whatever they want, you're not going to be able to do that for much longer. This all fits in with your... we'll go down the whole thing. We'll do the digital identification, the digital currency. We'll do the voice.
Righto, the voice. Now, that's an interesting thing. That's coming up for a referendum. What is your stance on the voice? How do you think that affects what you're talking about in your particular area of expertise? Wade?
So I'd say, first of all, vote no. Absolutely, vote no.
Well, we say that only because Don says, because he can't work out what it's about. They haven't sold it very well, and we think it's just a divisive instrument that pits black against white when we're just one country.
So to look at the prima facie case right there, 30 years ago, South Africa got rid of apartheid, and Albanese and Australia and these voice people are trying to bring in apartheid.
That's
in
right.
Australia.
I think it's divisive, and that's what, nothing to do with racism. We just think it's divisive. We're all here under one flag and one country. Well, not one flag even, under one, in one country, and we all should just not be divided by politics.
So what you'll notice is anything that the government tells you is good for you, you know it's bad, for a start. And secondly, when they talk about, you know, there's going to be some small changes made, the hell it is. What this voice is about giving a body the power of absolute control over all our land masses, our water, our infrastructure, our capacity to produce anything, our jobs, our businesses. And, you know, this is a disaster, absolutely catastrophic. And to speak to the racism side of it, this is racist, but I'll tell you right now, if they try and sell it in so much as Aboriginals are going to be better off, you damn well forget that. Because Aboriginals, exactly the same as anybody else, will take it in the neck the same as the rest of us. Because what this is about, and this model, I've seen this happen many, many times. This is to give an enormous amount of power to a very, very small minority of people who can be easily controlled by these international interests that I've been telling you about. And that is what this is about. It's got nothing at all to do with the empowering Aboriginals. And for the ones who think it is, like, they're just... You've got no clue.
Now, Wade, in one of your more provocative statements, you're on the record as saying you're no longer prepared for governments to wipe the floor with farmers. We'll smash them to pieces. That's fine, but you've been doing this for 40 years. Just the groundswell of support behind you, you said, has been immense. So where is all this going to lead in some proactive way that makes what you're talking about a positive step to stop what's going on? If that's a pretty convoluted question, but I hope you understand what I'm trying to ask you.
So a lot of what we're doing, Sam, is to move into the metropolitan areas with a lot of our meetings and a lot of our information that we do, because
Want people to what? Lobby their governments?
First of all, people have to understand what the deal is. They need to understand the baseline and what the plan is, and then from there they can go forward. So, you know, we want to start taking on our so-called agricultural representative lobby groups, and we need the city people's help to do this. We need to take these groups on and say, listen, enough of this rubbish that you're going on with and just selling whatever the government tells you. We need the people to come on board and say, let's start getting into organisations like the VFF, the National Farmers Federation, all these other kind of groups, because they are just rubber stamping whatever the government tells them. And this is one of our calls to action. This is one of our power plays.
And if you want support, how do they tangibly give you support? By logging onto a website or becoming part of an organisation or what?
So our organisation is called Billboard Battalion.
Billboard Battalion.
That's correct.
Yep.
And that came about from the fact that we use the billboards, as we do, and a battalion is a fighting force.
Yeah, no, I know what that is, yeah.
So
Billboard Battalion, what?
.com.
Com, yep.
Yes, yes. We do a bit of stuff on Rumble too, as Don alluded to there before.
Yep.
And also we've got a Facebook page. But, you know, you've got to be very careful.
Wade, wouldn't you have to get your act together in the country before you tackle the metropolitan area? Because the people in the, you know, they hardly ever go to the country, number one. They wouldn't be aware of the problems that are existing in the country. But at the moment, I still see it as a hell of a lot to do in the country and getting it organised.
Look, absolutely, Don, but I can say over the years that I've been doing the political protests and stuff in the city areas, when I was sort of doing it with a lot of the groups and you thought they were actually fighting for you, the response that we got from metro people is amazing. You know, the people in metropolitan Melbourne or throughout cities all over Australia, if you explain to them the situation, then they come on board. And that's what we're seeing right now is we're growing numbers. And yes, in the country areas also, we have to really push it hard. And that's what we're doing with a lot of our convoys are in rural and regional cities. So we're spreading the word there. We're taking on the politicians, and we're growing our numbers in those rural and regional areas. And just recently, I've had a number of farmers who over the years just sort of thought, she's right, mate, you know, everything's going good. And very well-off ones, third, fourth generation, who now are saying, rightio, next meeting that you do with regard to agricultural issues, you know, we want to come to it and see what's what, because they know things are bad. And right now, for example...
What do you mean? You're talking generics. What do you mean? You got to be... I can't relate, because I'd like something specific. Give me something specific that's happening.
All right, so let's just take the dairy industry, for example, yeah, right?
Right.
They have been slowly destroying the dairy industry, government has, with their policies. And what we're seeing...
And what policies are those that are destroying the industry?
So water policies is one of them.
Price, that's irrigation?
Yes, irrigation.
Right.
So you've got massive increases in shire rates. You've got massive increases in green tape.
In
green tape.
Yeah, which is opposed to red tape. Yeah.
All this environmental
garbage.
Oh, okay. Right?
So that's affecting them, is it?
Absolutely.
Right.
And the under the heading of the climate change fraud, these so-called targets that they want for the so-called, you know,
yep, emissions and that,
all
yep,
this other, this garbage, right, which are absolute lies, you're seeing restrictions being put on what farmers can do. You're seeing the price of electricity and energy going through the roof.
Yep.
That's all part of this climate change fraud.
Right.
And also you're seeing restrictions being put on the use of, for example, nitrogen-based fertilisers.
Yep.
You're seeing them attack livestock.
In what way?
Yeah, well we said the Ireland thing of slaughtering 200,000 cows. Done the same, and, I presume, here.
And yes, so what they're saying is, you know, oh, climate change, you know, livestock, they've got all the emissions from
methane,
all that stuff, and the fact that, you know, meat, you can't afford to eat meat because it's so bad for you. In the Netherlands, they've just legislated to wipe out 3,000 farms.
Yeah, I know.
In the Netherlands.
Yeah.
They've got to be gone. Finished. Yeah. Total. Now, this is exactly the sort of stuff I'm talking about. And right now, Don, one of my mates tomorrow will be milking for the last time. He's shutting down his dairy farm.
Really?
He's been in dairyings for 62 years. And he said, and this is what I talk to dairy farmers across the board, they say, we are getting record milk prices right now.
I was just going to say, go on, that's
the,
right.
The highest milk prices they've ever got.
Exactly.
And they're going broke.
Why?
Yeah, because of all the increased costs.
Exactly, because the government costs.
Well, you've got to increase your price on the milk then, if that's to cover all that, don't you?
Well, you see, the issue is this. A lot of the dairy factories that produce them
are owned by overseas.
They are, and the rest of them have been shut down.
Exactly.
They're gone. They're finished.
Yeah, I get, yep.
But
the reason they shut them down is they're not economic. So there's got to be something going on, isn't there?
Catch 22, Don. They're not economic because the costs keep going up and up. I suppose that's what you're saying, isn't it?
A lot of that, Sam, absolutely. And what I said before, Don, like, I know people who are running state-of-the-art, the most efficient operations that we can do, and they're going broke.
Well, Don, this is a fascinating.
It is.
As I say, a lot of things I talk about, I have no idea what I'm talking about. This is probably one of them, but it's fascinating to hear what someone who has been involved in for 40 years is fighting for the Aussie agricultural industry.
Can you see an end to this?
I see a catastrophic finish if we don't do something. And, you know, we get a lot of people go, oh, look, it'll be right at the end of the day. You know, once this is over, this is blah, blah, blah. We need to understand that these people now are doing what many of the dictators and the shocking people throughout history are doing, have done in the past. But right now, they've got the technology to pull it off.
Well, now, Don, this is Wade Northhausen. He's a proactive farmer. looking out for Aussie agriculture, and we appreciate him coming in and speaking to us on You Cannot Be Serious. Many thanks for taking the time to come and tell people, I'm sure, who have no idea what's going on, but you've enlightened me and Don, and I'm sure the people who listen. So thank you so much, Wade.
Well, if you had a second, Sam, I'd just like to touch on energy, if that's okay.
Yes.
Okay. So with regard to energy, we're hearing all this climate change crap about how we're going to have power restrictions.
And renewables
now,
and all that.
So yep. The deal is, with the renewable energy, it's not any good, and it's not reliable.
Not feasible.
And in the meantime, we've got these parasites who are actually blowing up the coal-fired power stations.
Now, hang on, there's two of them closed down in Australia. What do you mean, blowing them up?
Well, if you see here in Victoria, when they've decommissioned them...
One they've decommissioned in Victoria.
So they've actually blown them up.
Demolished them, yeah.
So what they are doing, and then they talk about, you know, we need all electric vehicles, right?
Yeah.
So what they are doing is deliberately creating a power catastrophe. And then they will start telling you how you can't use electricity because there's not enough because of climate change.
But do you think it's they, or do you think it's incompetence by those that are in power? You've got, say, the Greens pushing for these cars, but then they don't think
I agree with Wade. They're on a mission, Don.
I just think they're not competent at putting the practicalities
together.
They know
together. Exactly what they're
and
doing.
And I've only met you today and I don't know you too well, but anyway, let's just put it this way. I despise the theory of saying these people are incompetent.
They know exactly what
they know exactly.
They're on a mission.
Keep in mind that a lot of your politicians and bureaucrats, you know, they're ex-lawyers, they're ex-school teachers, they're ex-doctors.
Yeah, there's too many like that.
What I'm saying is these are not stupid people.
Hang on. They're qualified. We've all come through the same education system. Somebody that we've all got retentive or different types of retention as far as... No, I don't think those people are practical enough and don't think they're gifted in one way. They're not gifted in another way.
Well, they just follow instructions now. This is the deal. They follow instructions and that's all they do. You listen to politicians and they'll get their talking points in the morning or they'll get their directives on what policies that they're going to follow and they don't deviate from that. They push that through no matter what. And these things, they are deliberate, they are specific, they are systematic and they are destroying everything that we have. And we are going to get to a very serious crash very, very soon, where it's going to hit people where they cannot ignore it, and it's going to cost millions of lives, billions of lives across the planet.
This is Wade Northhausen, Don, and we're going to digest what Wade has said, and it's most interesting, and I know very little about what he's talking about, but I have a general knowledge of the push for globalists who are on the same track against what he's saying. I agree with what he's saying, but he is at odds with the globalists, and that is generally accepted. So we thank Wade Northhausen for coming on again, Don, don't we?
Yeah, we're just getting
going.
Don't
ask him any more questions, please. That's it. You're right. Thank you so much, Wade.
Yeah, more than welcome, and thank you very much for the opportunity to have a yarn to you, Blakes, and to all your listeners.